want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 435, recorded live on January 20th, 2016. I'm your host, Ted Hardhat, with
Scott Bergs
and Taz427.
You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. And also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by cache-advance.com for all your geocaching needs. Cache-advance.com, go find it. Yeah, buddy, I'll tell you what, here out in North Kakalaki, it's time to get on your muckalucks and get your ice melt out. It is freezing rainy night.
Oh, no.
In one of a two-punch storm system that's coming through. One came through, it's actually going up the East Coast. And
I saw that. Yeah, they're gonna get dumped down with snow.
Oh yeah, but the cool thing is we just got a little bit of freezing rain, so mm-hmm. Everybody's in a panic just in general because, oh my God, we're going to die. That's how they feel down here in the South. The kicker is tomorrow night we actually really get hit with an ice storm. So I want to do a Periscope just for fun tomorrow evening at a Walmart and show you about the French toast parties.
Oh, you still have to do that, yeah.
Which happens. So there will be no bread, no eggs, no milk. It is instantly hoarded, and away you go.
That's just a Tuesday in Chicago.
Yeah, I know, exactly. But here it's like ice. We're all gonna die.
Wow, amazing.
Yep.
Amazing. Yeah, it's been cold here, man. We had a real cold weekend here.
Something that you guys got down.
Did, man. It's going to be gone tomorrow, but then it was pretty much gone today. It wasn't that cold, was it, today? No, it was like in the mid-20s.
Right.
But it was cold, bitter cold. I mean, like, we went out Saturday and Sunday. We were going to go out Sunday, and it was like 20 below. I'm like, I'm not going anywhere. That's it. Went to the mall. I'm like, well, I'll go to the mall. It's just any place inside.
Yes. Well, you with the wind and everything, it just blows through whatever you're wearing. So
yeah, I mean, we went to we took a day trip to Milwaukee with a bunch of friends and did some caches in Milwaukee over the weekend, including going to the Safe House for the covert cache,
which right?
Is a really great cache out in Milwaukee in a bar and a restaurant bar, and I actually periscoped one of them. I periscoped the one that was on. I was on Marquette University's campus, and I actually periscoped us getting a virtual. And it was just – you could see. I mean, I watched it again. I'm like, I look cold. But like, it was zero. You know, we're not close to that. You know, it was really cold out.
Yeah.
Yes. It was a cold weekend. I mean, it was good. We got to Milwaukee, had some fun, you know, got out of the area and had a little fun and had some great time with friends. But it was a cold weekend. I'm looking forward to not this weekend, but next weekend. It's going to be in the 40s, and I don't have kids.
There
you go. So I'm really excited about that. Yeah.
Yeah. We were going to do a Cub Scout outing on Saturday, and it was gorgeous out. Beautiful. It was in the 50s. And because we had so much rain and flooding here, all the trails in the park that they wanted to meet up on were all washed out. They're all closed. It's like, well, you know. So they ended up canceling it. And I was kind of disappointed because I had all the geocaching brochures all made up, and I had all the different cache types to show all the kids and all that. Pick them.
Are they going to reschedule it?
Yeah, they're going to reschedule it. I'm hoping sometime in February, because by then the tulips and the daffodils will be blooming. So it'll be great.
In February.
Yes. So it'll be just before our prime tick time, and be, you know, just after the major freezing that we get so much down here. So I'm just saying.
I saw, I saw an article. I actually didn't read the article because I didn't care. But I saw that Lyme disease is now going to be like all over the country, not just
in
certain locations. It's now going to be the deer or the ticks that are carrying it are now spreading throughout, spreading their seed, so to speak, for lack of a better term, through various parts of the country.
Absolutely. So you know what that means? You have to find your tick buddy or else. I'm just saying.
Or a hat.
That's not where I get bit. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Yeah. So Taz, how you been doing? How's the leg?
Pretty good. Been went to physical therapy a couple times, and everything's going good. And there's a cache nearby the office there, physical therapy office, and I've been itching to get it. I'll probably get it later this week.
How many physical therapy sessions are you going to?
Doctor suggested 2 a week for 4 weeks. Right now I'm scheduled for a total of 6.
Nice.
And is insurance probably paid? Yeah, insurance pays for everything but 10% of it. So
That's awesome. That's great. Yeah, we got to get you up and going. I personally, there's a job opportunity that I'm hoping to hear some good news this week about, and it's right on North Carolina State's campus. And you know they've got some serious geocaches in there, so I can't wait. That's going to be awesome. All right, good stuff. Let's move on to the podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community and what's going up this week for GeoGearheads. This is one of the only shows, I think, in 2016 that Scott Burks isn't in. Let's see. It's episode 200. You've just been on there a lot lately. I'm just saying.
Daryl's show?
Yeah.
Well, I'm always the fallback.
Get Scott. He'll do anything.
Put your headphones on and this get in front of your computer. Will you
play? Let's see. It's episode 212, Logging 1. Dave DeBearmaker, Gary Slinkard from the Cash and Release podcast, and Chris and Daryl will be talking about logging geocaches online, methods.
You know I have no part of that. I love it. I'm out with Shorty Nets. Thanks for the hide, kind of guy.
That's right. Exactly. You're lucky I'm wearing pants. Here's my log. Online methods and whether it's important to log your finds with the listing service. So that could bring up a good discussion right then and there. Apparently they're talking whether you should log or not on a listing service. It's like, all right. So thus the interesting thing. So be sure to check out the GeoGearheads tomorrow on Thursday. Before you do, check out GeoSnippets Reboot Podcast. We're going to be talking about useful geocaching websites too. We had a lot of fun last year. Sunny and Sandy put out a post like 4 or 5 years ago of useful websites. So we got permission from them to go through and just kind of go over all the different websites that they had in the post. Well, that's been updated the beginning of last year, and there's a lot of really cool new sites. So I asked Sunny if I could go over and redo that one and tell you the updates as well. So we'll be doing that tomorrow on the GeoSnippets Reboot Podcast. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Are you judging it on design or just on content alone?
Content alone. There's a lot of really, really good information in there.
What about the user experience or anything like that?
You know, I love it because, and I'll do a plug now because he was kind enough to let us use this. I mean, we're good friends with Sonny and Sandy, but Sean's comic book is in there, his coloring book. Is on that page, which I'll be talking about as well. And they got a full comic book now with Sean and his friends going out geocaching. It's an activity book. So we'll be talking about that too. It's a lot of fun, and it's a cool idea, and it's one of those, dang it, why didn't I think of that first? Just saying. No, just
like
kidding.
Like YouTube.
Yeah. Who thought?
An easy concept, that is.
Man, you never knew. So anyways, also, if you get any fun information, a laugh, a giggle, a golden nugget of knowledge out of the Geocaching Podcast, please be sure to go on by to our website at geocachingpodcast.com and click on the Patreon graphic and become a Patreon and a contributing factor to our show, because quite frankly, we need the money. Just saying. It just boils down to that. It helps keep the Geocaching Podcast going, and we appreciate every little bit of moolah that we can get so we can keep the lights on and be able to talk into microphones and not have our chairs break or our computer go bad or on and on and on. So just saying, become a Patreon. We would greatly, greatly appreciate it. All right, let's move on to the geocaching question of the day.
Hey cachers, this is Lookout Lisa from Cache Advance, and I'm your host for the geocaching question of the day. Well, Cache Advance is your geocaching hub for all your caching needs, including the Cache Crate, a monthly subscription box of geocaching and outdoor gear. Well, Mondays through Thursdays, we ask our followers on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+ a question about geocaching. We recently asked, how many geocaching events have you attended? Well, after tallying all the answers, we found that cachers, on average, have attended 63.5 events. Well, I found that once a newer cacher attends their first event, which can be a little scary on your first one, they're usually hooked and go to as many as they can. And we can be a pretty social bunch. So here's what we heard. Adam on Facebook shared, as of today, I have attended 2 megas, 40 events, and 10 CETOs. I go to events as often as I possibly can. It's always a great excuse to meet up with my friends who seem to primarily be cachers these days. You know, Adam, I can quite relate. Well, Marianne really hit the ground running. She shared, we have attended 15 events in the 6 months that we've been caching. Wow. Well, Peter shared 151, but we don't log our own events as some do, so it might be more. You know, today we asked about logging your own events, and that was very interesting reading on all of our social media. So, for those wondering, I have personally logged 271 events, but as usual, I'm a little behind on my logging, so it should probably be a tad higher. And yes, as a professional cacher, it is my job to attend events. What can I say? So, as always, we really enjoyed hearing about geocaching events, and you can too. If you follow us, Cache Advance, on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, for the geocaching question of the day. Thanks all, and happy caching.
Well, thank you, Lisa, and absolutely good stuff. Good stuff with the geocaching question of the day. Yeah, lots of events.
Yeah, I just checked them. 202.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember answering that yesterday or the day before yesterday. 165 events, 10 CETOs, 8 megas, 2 block parties.
Partridge, pear tree.
Yeah, I didn't break it down. I just took a quick glance.
It's one thing that I really love about geocachers. They don't need anything. They just need a place. That's it. Meet up, talk. It's great. Of course, food always is a good help. But I'm just saying. Yeah. But yes, just need a place. All right, let's move on tonight. We got the Geocaching Podcast episode 435, More Geocaching Deadly Sins. Scott Burks is wonderful with these ideas, and I love it. Now, we actually have three total bullet points of which we can talk about, but sometimes we get into one bullet point or another and just run with it. So we may go through one, we may go through all three. It's a gambit, and if not, we will do other shows down the road. But they're always great talking points, good discussion points. Why don't we start off? Scott, with the one that they have here, team accounts, real numbers or inflated? Why don't we start with that one?
Okay. I'm sure everybody knows a couple that that are a team account that have the the same account, and it's two people working on one account basically is what it is. You know, I'm sure everybody knows somebody who does it. You know, we might have somebody in the chat room that does it. But my question to you guys is that what you said, is it inflated numbers or is it a real account? You know, what do you consider that? Like, you know, like I see it, obviously if they cash together all the time, then obviously they're both getting it at the same time. But
right.
I've seen instances where one, you know, both of them are cashing separately, getting double numbers, you know. And I've seen one, you know, like, oh, my husband's at work, so I'm out caching to keep our streak alive, kind of a thing.
Right. And
you know, our streak alive.
And I think it all boils down to those main areas. If you've got somebody who does team XYZ and they go out as a team, because I know some elderly couples that have been doing it forever, and but they don't double mark their finds. They go out together as a team, find the geocache, figure out the puzzle, do whatever it is, and they mark it the one smiley for both of them as a team. Mm-hmm. I've got no problem with that. I think that is absolutely wonderful. Go for it. I think where you have the other part where you mentioned with that, if you've got a family of five and they're all going in five different directions at the same time, mm-hmm. and marking all those under the one account, mm-hmm. okay, yeah, they're going to have we've got 12,000 finds. Yeah, divided by five. I mean, you know.
It's not about the numbers.
It's not. And that's the thing that it goes down to. It's not about the numbers. Everybody plays their own game the way they want, blah, 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 blah.
But it's not about the numbers unless they make it about the numbers.
Right. You know what I'm saying? If you're puffing your chest.
If you're puffing your chest, throwing it in your face, then, you know, I've got friends, including a family of five, the Roskowski five.
And by the way, I picked that number totally random.
But, you know, they primarily cash together. The husband and wife occasionally cash a little bit separately, but for the most part, they cash together as a family. And, you know, it's like, that's what they do. I mean, you know, I'm not going to begrudge them their numbers
based right.
upon that. You know, good friends of mine, Rich and Lola, they, which is also their handle, Rich and Lola, they do it as well. They primarily cash together, but occasionally they, you know, one's at work, the other one's not. They'll cash separately. They've got a large number of finds, but, you know, they're not throwing it in your face.
Right. And I would tend to believe the vast majority of geocachers don't give a flying flip mm-hmm. what other people put down as their numbers. I mean, unless there's an actual, some kind of challenge or some kind of, you know, thing that everybody's trying to legally go for a particular reason and going after something that, yeah, you want to have the straight numbers and go that way. Mm-hmm. Other than that, they don't care.
Yeah, and most people don't, but occasionally it comes up, you know, where it's, especially in Illinois, it's like, what number are you in Illinois? You know?
Right.
Which what number? Like, I think I'm in the, what am I in the 30s, Jess? I'm 30s, 32 or something like that in the state of Illinois, you know? But, like, then you get people who, you know, like you're working, so your wife is out cashing, or vice versa, to keep the numbers going, keep going. Where if I'm working, I can't cash. It's just me, you know. Or you know, whereas me and Jesse have separate accounts, you know.
Right.
And I know married couples who have separate accounts, and they have the exact same numbers because they only go out together. The exact same numbers, like 4,002. You know, like they both have it, the same thing. You know. And again, I don't have issues. Everybody plays their own way.
Right.
But if you're putting it in people's faces and stuff like that, then that's an issue where it's like, you know, you're like, no, dude, you don't. I know you were working while your wife was out cashing.
Right.
Don't tell me that you have, you know, these numbers when I know you don't.
Yeah. You know? Now there's, I mean, way back when, cause there's count stats that are out there where I remember years ago where many of the people from North Carolina, I knew quite a few of them, were some of the top geocachers in the world. I mean, that was those numbers that they did, they worked on since square one on them and were, you know, maybe not throwing it in your face, but they were extremely proud for their accomplishments to say, you know, back then, you know, we had 16,000 their finds and go that way and be the number one people in the either in the state or in the world. And mm-hmm. so I could see how that would bug some people, where if somebody shoots up the line and suddenly they've got two times what you have,
right?
Because you know, that's what
exactly.
they went through.
And that's happened. You know, I have 13,434 finds, and I've found every single one of them.
Yeah.
You know, personally, I found every single one of those hides. Where other people haven't, you know, I know other teams that haven't.
Yeah.
But they found maybe, I know, you know, one of them has found maybe a quarter of the finds, you know, or, you know, or something along those lines, you know, but they're boasting what their number is.
Yeah. Now, as far as kind of a sidekick to this, people virtually filling their stats, couch logs.
I love those. It's my
When you see somebody who obviously is Superman, that they can go in 14 states on the same day and log geocaches, I mean, that's a whole different animal.
Yeah,
this isn't geocachers just going out and finding geocaches and marking them. These are guys going out, sitting on their butts in front of the computer screen and going, oh, I like that one. That's a good one. Let's put that one on.
I mean, yeah, I mean, any virtual, if you put enough time into it, you can figure out the answer, you know, especially with Google Street Maps nowadays, you could totally find out the answer.
Yeah.
You know, me and Jesse found one. Me and Jesse found a virtual a couple of weeks ago when we totally easily could have Google mapped it just because we saw it. And I'm like, that's it. That's all we need to do is answer that question.
Yeah.
I saw it from my car. I'm like, I could have done this online. But the difference is I was there and I got out there to do it.
Yes.
And that's the whole point of it is you're getting out there, you know.
Exactly. I mean, there's even one at the Terracotta Warrior exhibit, which is a replica of the Terracotta Warriors in Houston, where I've got a picture of myself there at the location. But it was before I started geocaching, and I never went back.
Yep.
You know, I figured out the information. I never went back. I've never claimed it. I'm not going to claim it.
Yeah.
It's like, if you didn't do it, don't claim it.
Yeah. And it's just amazing how many people do that. Now, in those particular cases, and for me, I don't look at logs. I really don't for geocaches. A lot of people do, where they'll sit there and something flags them off where there's no way this person went out and found one of my geocaches and deleting logs for those. Because
they
go back.
Did you see Facebook, by the way? Did you see Facebook? I don't mean to call anybody out. On the you might be a geocacher group. Are you part of that group?
I am, but I haven't seen that part.
Oh, there's an old couple who totally photoshopped themselves into a picture.
Oh no!
Really, really badly.
Oh.
And somebody called them out on the group and actually put the picture up in the group, and it was pretty bad. I mean, it made me laugh just because that's what I do for a living. But it was really bad. And it's like, really, the amount of time it took you to photoshop yourself into that picture,
you could go, you know, and find it.
Unless it's for some kind of challenge you're never going to get or something. What's the point of doing that?
Yeah.
You know,
come
on, go adventure. Go have fun. Go see it. You know, the adventure's getting there, man.
Yep.
You know,
that is absolutely the truth. Well, I, you know, this kind of falls into, and I don't want to get into that part too much, but, you know, when you play a video game and you know every cheat code that it takes to play the game, why are you doing it?
Yeah,
why, you know? Oh, well, I beat the game. No, you didn't. You cheated through the whole damn thing. Same thing with geocaching. Well, I went here and I hit. No, you didn't. No adventure. You sat on your butt and you picked something.
Getting a little help guide like a phono friend, though, occasionally gets you past those tough spots.
Yeah, but you're trying at least. There's
but
a difference.
You're actually, yeah, make an effort. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're not getting off the couch to go find something, what are you doing? You know, it's the whole point of it is to get your butt off the couch.
Yeah.
And get you out there.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, even if you're playing Ingress, at least you're out there. Doing something. Or if you're playing Munzee, you have to scan it there and get it. So, I mean, I know that
throw
back
down the window, pull up to the light pole.
And click. Yes.
Yeah. I remember we were down south a couple of years ago, down south Illinois, and one of the pretty big cacher out in that area, I'm not naming any names, but a pretty big one out in southern Illinois. And we found, you know, every... And we were hitting caches just boom, 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 boom down this trail.
Sure.
You know, this trail. And and he was just on every log online.
Right.
But he was on none of the logs
that
we were pulling. You know, the person before and the person after, they were on the log. He was not on any of them.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? For what?
Yeah.
Like, this is your neighborhood. Like, just go find them.
Exactly.
Like, log that was in the city. Log Chicago, which is 200 miles away. Log those virtually. Don't log the ones that are in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
Go find the ones in your neighborhood.
Exactly. I mean, how do you learn? I mean, one of the things for me is when you go out geocaching and you know that you're looking for a particular geocache by a particular hider, you start to learn, you get into their head of how they hide things and why they hide things. And you learn those patterns. So the next time you go for a particular geocache, you kind of get a little better idea of what you're doing. How do you do that? Sitting on your butt doing nothing?
Or how do you get a geosense sitting on your butt?
Yes,
you
know, exactly.
The biggest thing about geocaching is geosense.
Yes.
You know, I can always tell when it's out of whack when I haven't geocached in a while because I go and I can't. The other day I just went a pine tree. I mean, it took me 25 minutes to find this pine tree hide. I was so pissed. I'm like, I know it's here, and I just can't find it. And I couldn't zero in on it.
Yep.
You know, eventually I found it. But it's, you know, it's 20 degrees out. It's cold.
Exactly. Yes.
And, you know, but I know because I haven't geocached much in the past month and a half that my geosense is all out of whack. You know, in summertime, it's never out of whack. So I'm always caching.
That's the beauty of doing the geocaching. I mean, how can you see the scenic spots? How can you find all these cool things if you don't do it?
I've seen amazing things. I've told my children, my son, I've seen, you know, you should come with daddy. I see incredible things all the time.
Yep. It's amazing.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the next one that we have here for geocaching deadly sins. Failure to maintain your geocaches or break other people's. Oh, this is a good one.
Like Taz has got so much.
Start your engines.
Well, I've done the break other people's, but that unintentionally break other people's.
Yes.
Which it's not a deadly sin if you unintentionally break it. Unless you don't report it to the cache owner.
I agree.
Don't make some sort of attempt to correct the situation, you know. and even one where I was going for a first to find and had my arm through a railing on the side, and I can barely get to it. It was a magnetic, but it was shaped like a hockey puck.
Uh-huh.
And I'm kind of inching it towards me because my fingers could barely get to it, and then it pops up on the end and then rolls, boom, down into the creek. It floated away. I ran off the bridge as fast as I could, grabbed the lid, tried to get it, floated away.
Yep. I love seeing geocachers' faces where they do that and they're above a drain and they drop the top.
Oh, yeah. I've gone for an FTF on a nano and I butterfingered it into the water and I was like, oh, damn it. You know, and you're like, where's a nano on him? You know, it's like, I don't have a nano on me.
Yeah. Yeah. Mine was somebody actually put a glass jar for the cache container, and it's in heavy leaves in the later part of autumn, and I'm taking my pole and ding 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 dang it. Yeah,
the sad part about that FTF, I would have been first to find.
Oh, you see,
he logged it till after he replaced the container.
Jeez. So it unintentionally happen. Sure. I mean, I've definitely poked one or two lock and lock boxes intentionally too. Middle of winter.
But we're not talking about those. We're talking about the people who can't
just
get it open with the lock, so they break it.
There's one.
Yes, you have experience with that. Didn't somebody do that to you?
Yes.
Yeah. I had someone on one of my gadget caches, basically rip it off the pole. It's a PVC pipe that's four feet tall that is strapped at. Three different locations to the utility pole, and they quite literally ripped it. It was hanging by one of them left.
Oh my gosh!
Rotated over there instead of finding the little pole that's down on the bottom, because I got a little handle at the bottom, and if you take the top off and you pull that bottom, it shoots. It will push the cache out of the top of the tube.
Right.
And
it's much easier with a sledgehammer.
Right.
You know, they decided they're going to rock it enough until it breaks the metal straps and rotate it.
Wow.
Why do I need to figure out the puzzle when I have a sledgehammer?
Jeez. Well, let's not leave those funny locks and hinges and stuff get in your way.
Yeah, we did one. Me and Jesse did a cache. It was a really hard puzzle cache, and we worked really hard. I didn't do anything. She worked really, really hard on it. And we got to the point where it was like a four stager, and we got the stage before the final was a sprinkler head right by a tennis court, and it was sprinkler head was all the way flat to the ground. Mm-hmm. So it's, and it was fall. So I searched for 25 minutes before Jesse got there, and then her son finally like walked right up to it. Like, oh, here it is. I'm like, oh, great. And so inside that was a key to the lock that was on the ammo, which was up the hill. So we got the key, got everything set, walked all the way up the hill, and the ammo can did not have a lock on it.
Oh my gosh.
The lock was gone.
Wow. Yeah.
So it's like, come on, man, put it back.
Exactly.
So basically, we didn't have to do any of that. We could have, you know. Yeah.
The best example that I have, there is one, I don't know if it's still there, but it's one of the few larges that I encountered back in the early days. It was literally half a refrigerator sized toolbox that was made for Rubbermaid. So it was that plastic. Mm-hmm. And there was a combination lock on it. And it was a puzzle cache which had this huge list of items that may or may not have been in the actual cache itself. But there was a whole storyline behind it. You had to read the list and then figure out the combination that way. And mm-hmm. so I spent a week digging through this thing, researching, figuring out the pattern, finding the answers, went out to this, and in this huge clump of trees, here's the box, very excited about it, beautifully camouflaged, the whole shot, and somebody else ahead of me, the lock was on, but they busted the part that holds down the lid to the rest of the box. It's like you forced the damn lock because you couldn't figure it out, and this is how you got your smiley. And it's like, really? So, I just don't know. And it's like, is there any kind of demographic? I mean, is this kids that would do this? Is this angry adults that go out drunk geocaching? I don't know. But who takes a hammer at something because I can't figure it, so I'm going to break it till it opens?
Yeah.
Wow.
And in that same vein, another thing to remember, guys, is there's a cache out here that has got a lock on it with a key lock. But the thing is, the keys, there's four keys floating around, and they're on tags. You know, they're on like trackables.
Right.
Well, the trackable page clearly says, "Do not take out of Cook County."
Right.
Is what the trackable says. Do not leave Cook County, and they're all gone. All across.
Yeah.
I think one of them is across the United States. Like, so guys, if you've come across a key, make sure, check it. Check the, check it's, you know, because it may say don't leave this county or don't leave that county. Because if the only luck, as luck would have it, one of the cashiers in the area made a copy of the key. He's like, these kids are going to get lost. And he made a copy of it.
Right.
And because he made the copy, the cash is still in existence.
Wow.
Yeah. If he didn't make a copy, they'd be screwed. You know, the owner would be screwed.
Yep.
We had a similar one in Houston where basically the coordinates to the cash vinyl was on a trackable. And so you had to go out and find the trackable. And part of the thing is the person who owns it has to, when they're logging their cache, give a hint that they're going to drop it, mm-hmm. but also cannot take it to an event. Sworn to secrecy. I think it was something like the 30th or so finder on that cache. It had been out for about 3 years at that point, but it was like, once I found out about it, I was like, oh, I'm watching this thing like a hawk. I drove miles to go get, when it got dropped off, I left work at noon, drove 40 miles, got it, and then managed to find the cache and back to work.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. That's what happened with this, is I found it back in like 2009, and, I was watching the keys. I had watches on all the keys, and one of them was in the area. And so I went to the area that area, and I actually met the cashier who had the key in hand. They're like, "No, I'm going later to go get it." I'm like, "Oh, okay. Do me a favor. Put it in this cache." I said, "There's a cache right next to it called this. Dump it in that cache." She's
right.
Like, "Okay, no problem." And that's what I did. And I went back like a few hours later in the day, and I got the cache. I got the key out of the cache. I got it the right way, you know. Yeah.
But it's interesting.
This one wasn't official trackable online, so you had to basically snoop on whoever found the cache last, start watching their logs until they gave the hint. So,
wow!
But it didn't have a tracking code, so you couldn't just put a tracking code number on there.
Holy cow! Yeah, it's amazing how people will go for that. I mean, I know we spent. Friends of ours, the two Alexanders and Amy and myself, you want one that you want to break, but you just aren't because you have the ethics to know the difference, was a monkey cache.
Like your monkey cache.
Oh, my God. We were out in the woods for over an hour. I mean, three of the people had PhDs. Or master's degree. So it wasn't like, you know, duh, hit the thing and we'll figure it out. That was my part. We've got people that are just extremely, extremely intelligent out in the middle of the woods with the mosquitoes, the briars, and all the fun, banging this monkey cache around, going absolutely ape, and just going for it. If you ever wanted something that you wanted to break, this was it. And then, of course, you get the other thing where you get so frustrated. We DNF'd it, put it back up, and you looked at the next log after that about 2 hours after you touched yours. They went, "Oh, yeah, the key just fell out. It was great." you do the ethics. You do what's right, and you make sure that, you know, that's part of the fun. If you can't get it, you go back and you do it again. It's amazing. How about failure to maintain your geocaches? I would be happy. This is all hitting Chad just really just right. I would be happy if geocachers would not just maintain, but just take a look at their geocaches once in a while would be good, let alone on a regular interval.
Yeah, I'm not saying you have to go out there on a regular interval, but when you got three people in a row that said, I found the container smashed to pieces with everything floating around. I tried to scoop it up as best as I could together.
Yeah.
Yada, yada, yada. And they don't do anything about it.
Yeah, take it down.
Those are the ones that annoy the crap out of me. Because, I make it out there, and I'm looking, and I find the debris, or I find absolutely nothing, and then I read the logs. It's like, okay, it's gone away because it's been destroyed and someone finally put it in a garbage bag.
Yeah. Those GLAD transfer containers. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's also respecting the cacher. You know, if somebody with 50 hides says it rather than somebody with 5,000 hides says it, you definitely respect the 5,000 hides going, yeah, it's probably gone, Also, I think groundspeak, and this is a total tangent, I apologize.
Go for it.
Also, groundspeak needs like a DNA tag, because people DNF something, and what they say is, oh, yeah, there was so many people around, so I didn't even try. Well, that's not a DNF.
Yeah.
That's a DNL.
But you know what? All people see is that blue circle, and they go, okay, we're not going for it. There's, you know, it's got a DNF on it. Well, read.
Right.
So it's got four, and if four people went, that's four DNFs in a row.
Yeah, exactly.
Not people aren't going to that cache anymore because there's four DNFs.
Right.
Yeah, no. I mean, I'll filter out ones that the last four logs were DNFs.
Yes.
Because it's like it's not worth my time to.
But it may not. But it could totally be there. It could totally be there.
Yeah.
Could have totally been.
Exactly. Or it could be totally. That's why when Jesse, you know, if I'm talking to Jesse and Jesse's like, "Do you want to go for this one? It's got three DNFs." I go, and I'll say, how many finds did the finders have? They could have 10 finds.
Yeah.
You know. Right. Yep. And so I go, how many finds? You know, is it respectable? Or is it like a joke?
Yeah.
You know.
And I've got a cache where it periodically will get multiple DNFs in a row because it's usually newbie cachers and they haven't seen that type of cache.
I haven't seen that behind. Exactly.
And so it'll get bam, 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 and then people stop looking for it, and I, you know, I'll put a maintenance log on note on there, and so it's been maintained.
Yep, it's there. Go for it.
You know what also irritates me really quickly as long as I'm on this part.
Keep going.
Is when Groundspeak threatens a cashier and says, so they just say, yeah, I maintained it, and they didn't maintain it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That really, really irritates me.
Yes. No. I think
especially when you go back and it's still not there. And you're like, really, dude? Really?
I think it boils down to if you put down a quality container to begin with, most of the maintain of a geocache, well, it's filled with swamp water. You know, glad transfer box, guess what? If you put out a quality container that you have tested to make sure that it's as waterproof as possible in the seasons of which it's placed, that will eliminate a lot of your maintenance needs. If you've got a geocache that's going to be put in the public area where it's going to get hit 300 times a week, you may not want to put a nano there. You know, using some common sense, putting on your geocache may save you your intervals for maintenance.
Yeah, you need a big log, long. Yeah, and the whole DNF and DNA. I mean, either geocaching needs a DNA thing or they need a. Hey, if you didn't look for it, don't log a DNF. It's really simple.
Yeah, you get it some other time, but don't put a DNF. I totally agree.
Not a DNF.
You know, write a note. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, hey, I didn't look for it because it was too many muggles. That's a note. That's not a DNF.
Exactly.
I know. That's what I said. Like, that's a note. Yeah, I think a note. Yeah. Yeah. So, meanwhile, Andy, you'll appreciate this. Totally off topic again. I'm sorry, but Jesse and I were in. Jesse, where were we? We were in Wisconsin, and there was a virtual. And was it not there, Jess? And some newbie put a needs archived?
Oh, jeez.
On the virtual?
Oh, it was a webcam.
Oh, webcam. Sorry, it was a webcam. And a newbie put needs archive.
Oh.
Because the cache was down, because the camera was down for the season. Now, here's the problem. Is I don't know if you know this, but like if a webcam says needs archived, it has to be, the reviewer has to archive it.
Really?
Yeah, or has to check and make sure if it's not up, it has to be archived. Like, if the webcam's down.
Is that just to get rid of the webcam caches?
I think so, yeah. I think, like, for example, like, when we went to Geo Woodstock a couple years ago. Andy, weren't you there a couple years ago, Geo Woodstock, at 13?
Yeah, I was at 13.
13, there was a webcam at the school right by it.
Right.
Okay. I don't remember what school it was. Jess, remember the school? The school? Geocache? Sorry. She has her headphones in. Geo Woodstock 13. The whole webcam archive thing. What school was it? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
No. All right.
That was in St. Louis.
Yeah, right by St. Louis. Yeah. And there was a school that had a webcam, and the webcam was down, but the owner was allowing you to take pictures. You know, like,
sure,
take pictures. And so the entire Geo Woodstock was planning on going to this webcam. It's a webcam.
They want to hit all the different types in one day.
Of course. Who wouldn't want to? Of course. You know, we wanted to hit it. We were going to hit it because we were going for 13 icons in a day, and that was one of them. We wanted to hit it. Meanwhile, this screwball made me drive an hour and a half one way to go get the other webcam. Completely different point. So, yeah. So, a week before Geo Woodstock 13, I think about a week before, some noob with less than 100 finds put needs archived on it. And the reviewer was like, I have to archive it. It's not working, and it got. I have to.
Yeah.
And so this dude was at Geo Woodstock, too, and I'm sure the entire place was looking for him, was headhunting this guy.
Because geocachers all know where to hide the body, you know what I mean?
I think the whole freaking mega was looking for this guy. Because the whole mega was going to go.
He's
not going to go to a webcam that's right down, you know, that 20 minutes away.
All right, just as a side rant, because this is something I can understand why virtuals, and I'm going to stay away from that whole thing right now. Why grandfather webcams? Why make it so that you can't make new webcam geocaches?
I never understood that either. But
there's nothing involved.
You know, Jesse and I were talking about that, actually. We were talking about that in the car. on our way to Milwaukee, because we were talking about, like I said, that one got a needs archive on it.
Right.
You know? And I'm talking like, why did they kill that? You know, and
I don't think they make
a webcam was such an archaic thing, though. How many webcams do you know of that are new? You know, that was a very niche thing that was 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
Even so, I would love just to do a little bit of research to find out, because you know that there's the technology now. There is more technology now to be able to do a webcam geocache and do it wirelessly. I mean, it's not even – you don't even have to have major weird hookups anymore. You can just do it Wi-Fi and go this way. Why not do it? That would be awesome to bring back.
Dude, if they brought it back, I literally, hand to God, would put one out my window.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
For people.
It hurts nothing. You got somebody out there with their mobile phones. I remember in the old days with people with laptops hooking up to get the picture or on the phone saying, Grandma, would you mind hitting print for me?
Go to this page.
Yeah. Well, the first one I did, I had a smartphone, but I couldn't get the page to load up when I was out there. The data service was crap, and I called up a friend of mine. Is like, can you go to this website and take a picture?
Is that you? That dot over there?
It was a geocacher, so he knew what I was
right.
doing.
Yeah, I don't know why they canceled the webcams.
Oh, my God, that would be so cool to have something come back like that.
I just don't think webcams are around anymore. I have no doubt people would put them out. Like I say, I would put a webcam out.
Oh, in a heartbeat.
Of course, now, yeah.
Yeah.
It's so easy to do now. Oh, my God, easy. Yeah, but I don't know why they went away. That I don't know.
That would be interesting, because it hurts nobody, and you could have so much fun doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, I just love the – there's something about being on – I know one in Florida that I did with the Bear Maker, and we're standing there, and we're looking like idiots, waving and having a good time, and, you know, you got to have fun with stuff like that. That's just just cool.
Well, me and Jesse
went to on Merritt Island with the you're in front of like a fish billboard.
Yeah.
That was the first one that I did.
That was awesome. We were out there just looking like complete buffoons. It was awesome.
Yeah, Jesse and I went to West Virginia a couple years ago. Yeah, I think we hit three on the way. One of them was inside a DMV. Like, you actually, literally, the DMV waiting room had one, which is freaking awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and so we had to send somebody to the DMV site of the state to get us in the waiting room, take a picture of us in the waiting room.
Yeah.
You know, it was really cool. Yeah.
And I'm sure you could come up with some great creative ones with that, too,
it's a
nowadays.
Shame. I don't know why. I bet you Daryl knows. Darylopedia, he knows why webcams were
well, technically speaking, this is why they do it. There's a resolution area with it.
You see.
We love you, Daryl. So yeah, that's just how it is. All right, good stuff.
Dude, I would totally get a text from Daryl tomorrow telling me why webcams are gone.
And two links to articles that explain the. Oh, good stuff. All right, well there we go. Two out of three bulletin points, and that was good. We'll save the other one for the next time. Good stuff, Scott. Excellent suggestions. That was awesome.
Yeah. To talk about the deadly sins.
Oh yeah, good stuff. All right, folks, I think we've got enough here. Time to move on. Thank you, fine folks, for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. Thank you to Lisa from cache-advance.com. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast right here on the Geocaching website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact me or our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production and is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, Corey Stevens, and Chad Courtney. This show is copyright 2016 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved.